Bible talks about the judgment of God in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31.
Yeah.
And it says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And a lot of people take that lightly, but they won't when that day comes to be.
That's right.
The last verse of Hebrews chapter 12 says that God is a consuming fire.
Amen.
I'm glad mercy can put out the fire.
Yes.
I'm glad the blood was shed. I'm glad it was put upon the mercy seat. And I'm glad it allowed my transgressions to be forgiven.
That's right.
And to be put as far as the east is from the west.
Yeah.
Never to be remembered no more against me.
That's
right. If that wasn't enough, God said He cast them into the depths of the sea. Never to remember them no more.
Right.
In the book of Micah. But the world, boy, they better think about sin, because the Bible said sin, when it's finished, brings forth death.
That's right.
And ain't nothing funny about sin. The Bible says fools make a mock at sin, and I did. I laughed about sin for several years until sin became real, and I didn't laugh about it no more. As long as it was a joke, I was like everybody else, I was willing to laugh about it. We'll be taking our preaching this morning out of 1 Samuel chapter number 3. If you want to open up your good old King James Bible to 1 Samuel chapter number 3, we'll be long in this message today. I tried to condense it. I don't see no way to do it. I'll do the best I can. Is these anybody's glasses or anything here? I've seen this laying up there. You need them?
No, I got to get them a little bit. Thank you.
All right. I'll probably read the whole chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 3. I think it'd be good if we just read that whole chapter. I'm going to be preaching out of one verse, and that one verse is verse 3. But we'll start our reading in verse number 1, and we'll read it all the way down to verse number 21. And the Bible said, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days." Let me just say real quickly that the word of God is still precious today. The word hadn't changed.
That's right.
But in this day, it was precious because they received it and acknowledge that it was the Word of God. But that Word has not changed. It's still just as precious today as it was here in the days of Samuel. It says it was precious because there was no open vision. The people depended upon the prophets of God to inform them about the will of God. We have a Bible today which is a complete revelation of the will of God.
Yes.
The Bible was given under the hand of men by the hand of God. A lot of people, they make mock and jokes about this Bible. Just this week, a man commented to something I had put on the internet. He called the Bible a B-A-B-B-L-E. The Holy Babel. And I commented back. I said, "You might get to eat those words. Because God said, by the words men speak, shall they be judged in the last day." And He said I was insensitive and inconsiderate of Him by replying like that. I said, "Your problem ain't with me. Your problem with God.
Right.
You better be talking to Him, not me." But the Word of God was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down. Eli is the high priest.
Yeah.
When Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. This is a terrible verse, verse 3. "And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, And Samuel was laid down to sleep. We'll comment more about Samuel here in a minute. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not, lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Ain't it amazing when you get saved that God opens His words to you?
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
We take that for granted.
Yes, we do.
But the Lord made His word known to His disciples. Samuel here, he doesn't really understand this. He's just a child. But the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Samuel's but a child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he shall call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, in which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end." That's a terrible verse. "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not." You notice that God's holding Eli accountable for his sons. We'll comment more about that in a minute. "Therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." In other words, there's no repentance left for the house of Eli. Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." Now this is the preacher's dilemma. You see, it's not fun to preach a hard, rough message.
No.
But if I don't preach the preaching God bids me to preach, then I'm the one that becomes guilty. And this elder priest talking to this young child Samuel, which is soon to be the greatest priest of Israel, he says, "What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me." You notice, God didn't reveal it to Eli. God revealed it to Samuel. God had said somewhat about it to Eli. And here Eli puts this young boy on the spot. He says, "I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the word and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. I'll stop our reading right there. And our message today is the lamp went out, which was found in verse number 3. And there the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. Father, we thank you for the privilege to stand for the word of God. Lord, we know that in the last days there will be a famine, not of bread, but of hearing the word of God. Now I thank you, Father, not only to have the word of God, but I thank you, Father, for counting me faithful. Put me in the ministry, for calling me, Lord, to be a preacher. I thank you for that. I know it's a high calling. And I'm not that I could make any boast of it. Lord, you choose the foolish things to confound the mighty. Not many mighty or many noble are called, but just baser, poor, undeserving people like me, Lord God. You've used to be instruments, Lord, to preach your word. And I thank you for that. I count myself blessed, Lord, to be a preacher of the word of God. Bless this message, Lord, today. I pray you'll give us ears to hear, a heart to understand, and Lord, I pray you'll give us the faith to believe the word of God today. We live, in, Lord, in a crooked and perverse generation. And Lord, I look around and I see the evidence of the end times coming upon this generation. Yeah. I believe it was Paul that said upon us and whom the ends of the world are come. And I do believe, Lord, we're approaching that day. I do believe, Lord, that the days of judgment are not far off. Help me, I pray, Lord. Help my voice today. A little raspy. Help my voice today. Hey, the Lord will give you the praise and glory for anything that comes from this message. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Amen. Now this is Thanksgiving week. I'm on vacation this week. And I like to say happy Thanksgiving to each of you. And to some, it's not a day of Thanksgiving. To some, it would be Turkey Day. And Jesus said about His Father that His Father was kind to the unthankful. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. A lot of people will enjoy a Thanksgiving meal this week and they won't have no regard to God. They won't have no regard to health, appetite, or nothing. They just think that they deserve the blessing of health and appetite to be able to enjoy a meal. And they won't give God any thanks this week for Thanksgiving. I'm glad I'm not that anymore. I used to be that.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that the goodness of God should lead people to repentance. Romans chapter 2 verse 4. It says the long-suffering mercies of God are not only multiplied to us because God's not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. It tells us that we ought to say, if the Lord be willing, we shall live and do this or do that. But let me say, when those twin towers fell in America, that was the best day for this ungodly, unthankful country.
Amen. You're right.
Right.
That if anybody had a right to be thankful, America does.
Right.
This is truly the land of milk and honey.
Yes, it is.
The blessings cannot be numbered for multitude. We've got the best care.
That's right.
We've got the best jobs. I mention I'm probably going to ruffle some feathers right here. But there's some people that, how can I word this? They think it's wrong that there are rich people in America.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Are we that dumb not to realize that we eat of the crumbs that fall from the rich table. That's how I got a job.
That's right.
Somebody with some money started a company, hired me, allowed me to have a job to prepare for provide for my family.
Right.
That's right.
In third world countries, they all starve.
Right.
That's right. Amen.
Here we are, belly aching.
Yeah, you're right.
I'll read it, Carolyn.
Amen.
That president's only trying to help the rich. Thank God, having to do it, the richer they get, the better off we are.
That's right.
That's right.
I don't know about you all, but it ain't like I've got a mountain of gold to go out there and take out some and go cash it in. I'm dependent upon the very nail-scarred hand of God for everything I need in this life. And even those rich people do, they may not acknowledge it, but it's still true, Brother Mitchell.
Right. Amen. You're right.
Boy, the riches of God's great love and mercies and compassion upon us caused me to be humble in my mind and in my spirit.
Amen.
I just want to say a little bit about Thanksgiving before I preach this message. But when those twin tires failed, not only was it the best thing could happen for America, but it was a wake-up call to repentance.
Amen.
You know, Nineveh, they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And I would to God that somehow we could do like Nineveh and proclaim that everyone repent to God of our wickedness. We won't do it, and I won't beat that drum. But it would be good if we could.
That's right.
The fire in Paradise, California, there's 76 already determined fatalities. 1,276 are still missing in Paradise, California. The House of Representatives just reversed a 181-year-old law to appease a newly elected Muslim to the House of Representatives. The laws in Scotland, England have been changed to promote the teaching of the homosexual lifestyle in the schools, and it's against the law even to speak against it. You'll be prosecuted. You get where I'm going here?
Yeah, that's right.
I just want you to know what you're hearing ought not be. And that's kind of what I'm preaching on here today. By the way, I'm on vacation this week, and I'm looking forward to it. Amen.
Amen.
But the lamp went out in the temple. Eli's job was to see to it that the lamp didn't go out in the temple. That was his job.
Right. Amen.
Now, we've got a lot of churches today, and I know they're not the temple, but I want you to know the light's been out for a long time. But in Exodus chapter 27, verse 21 and 22, it says to be sure, the high priest is to be sure that the lamp doesn't go out in the temple. A long time ago when I was in school, back in the days of mischief, we all skipped school. Mm-hmm. Brother Jerry, we went out to Saltpeter's Cave. Now we was poor. And I took the battery out of the motorcycle and the headlamp of that motorcycle, and I took them wires and tested that battery, and we made our way back through Saltpeter's Cave like a bunch of dummies. We made it past the fat man's misery. We made it past that hole where you can drop the rock. You don't never hear it hit. And we were way back in there, and the lamp burned out. I know somewhat about the lamp going out. I mean, we couldn't see your hand. We had to feel our way out, and we got down on our hands and knees. And I mean, we're holding on to one another in case somebody fell in that pit. Mm-hmm. When we found the pit, we said, this is it, go to the right. Somehow none of these fools made it out of Saltpeter's Cave, but I know somewhat about the lamp going out.
Amen.
I remember thinking, what's going on here? I'm touching them wires, and I've got a good battery, and I've got good wires, but ain't no light coming out, fellas. It's still dark. It burned that little filament in 22. Now the wires there, and we back there in the back of Saltpeter's Cave, and the lamp went out, amen. It wasn't funny then. It's funny now. We made it out. Eli's job was not to sleep, Eli's job was to maintain that the lamp went not out in the temple. Let me say this about light. Light dispels darkness.
Right.
The only way darkness can exist is by the absence of light. I saw that in reality in the back of Salt Peter's cave. With the absence of that light, there was extreme darkness, and it could be felt. I mean, buddy, we feared for our lives. That was a darkness, buddy, that had somewhat power over us. We were we were victims to the darkness that we couldn't do anything about it. But darkness does not dispel light, but light dispels darkness. If I could have got that headlamp to work again, Mitchell, we'd have had light. Even in that great darkness, just a little light makes a difference. We didn't have any light. God says to us, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Verse 12 says, it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. We don't blush no more.
No.
We've kind of got in bed with darkness. We make examples, exceptions, and anything. And I'll tell you why we do it. Because men love darkness rather than light. Because mm-hmm. their deeds are evil. It makes money. Men love money. But the love of money is the root of all evil.
That's right.
And it was a sad day when we started laughing at some of these jokes and some of these stories about stuff. It's really a shame. You wouldn't want nobody to know that you laughed about them. You wouldn't want nobody to know that you heard them. But you don't love nobody around. It's funny. We laugh about it. But I want you to know it ain't no laughing matter when you have to deal with the consequences of it. That's what Eli's getting ready to do right here. It's going to take me just a minute to get to this message. We don't blush no more. You know, the Bible talks about the friendship this world's ended with God and talks about a double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways.
Yes.
Instead of him being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, he's in a straight twist too, whether to go with this one or to go with that one or to stay at home or go to church or whatever. I just want you to know the devil can't do nothing with a made-up mind.
Right.
I remember hearing a preacher on the radio this week. He said, me and my wife didn't say, are we going to church today? He said, are you ready yet? We're going.
Amen.
I mean, Joshua said, you choose this day. We done made our choice. That's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
I want you to know the devil can't do too much with a mind that's made up. But listen, that decision needs to be made. Amen. I'm telling you, darkness wants to prevail, but light dispels darkness. The Bible talks about the entrance of God's Word giveth light. The path of the just is as a bright shine of light. The path of the just is a bright shine of path that shines more and more to the perfect day.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, buddy, God is light. People say, I want to have fellowship with God. Give the light. I'm telling you, he ain't going to give the darkness. He's in the light. In him is no darkness at all.
Amen.
We've kind of got used to the dark. I remember back when we blushed.
The smallest
light can dispel the greatest darkness. Jesus said, let your light so shine.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Men, they don't come to the light. And the reason they don't, lest their deeds be reproved. It goes on even to say that they hate the light, because they're evil. John 3:20. America has been turning from the light for so long that we're in trouble with God. And that's the worst trouble there is.
Right.
The Bible said, if God be for you, who can be against you? Romans chapter 8, verse 31. And as we preach, and you listen to me, please, real good right here.
Amen.
As we preach today, America is being invaded.
Yes, it is.
And America is under siege by wicked, corrupt, criminal, career politician. Y'all notice I got a Republican town. Look, I'm not so much for Republican. I'm not so much for Democrat. I am for the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
And if you want to know which one's more for the Lord, do your homework. It ain't that hard to figure out.
No, that's right.
But these fools get elected. How they get elected, Brother Eddie? People believe the lies that they tell. Mm-hmm. They don't check it out. They don't look it up. Now listen, once they're in power, Brother Mitchell, once they're given power, it's hard to undo it.
Right. That's right. Amen.
The last president said elections have consequences, and that's true.
Mm-hmm. It does.
We're reaping some of those consequences.
You're right.
We are.
You're right.
This is a tough message to preach. I'm trying to choose my words carefully right here. But we're in the worst kind of trouble that a country could be in. It's the kind of trouble Eli was in. I'm going to get on that in a minute. We're parallel in what God said about Eli. You see, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin's a reproach to any people.
Right.
When the righteous have authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Everybody bellyache, bellyache, bellyache. Trump, 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 Trump,
right.
Trump. The Bible tells you pray for it. That's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
If you don't like it, pray for it.
That's right.
That's what you can do.
That's right.
I ain't stumbling for President Trump. I'm thankful for this. This is what I'm thankful for. He is America first president. What do you mean, brother? He forfeited his wages. Why'd he do that? He don't need money. Boy, that's one way to sort him out, ain't it?
Yeah.
Take away the money, see how many run.
Right.
I'd be interested in seeing that myself.
Right.
Take away the money. Who wants to run for office? By the way, you don't get paid. See you later.
Yeah, right.
These money grubbers, I'm going to put it in respect as I can. They're enemies.
That's right. Amen.
They're enemies of your home, of your future. They're going to do what they said they're going to do a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to take your country away and they're not going to fire a shot.
Right.
That's right.
Your country right now is being invaded.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Your country right now is under siege, and we're bound politically. We're bound by laws and statutes that should have never been put into place.
Right.
You got a president right now that's appointing Supreme Court justices that are conservative.
Right.
Why are they fighting that? I'll tell you right now, because you better wake up.
That's right.
This ain't done in no corner. This is done in a corner because we ain't paying no attention.
That's
the Bible
right.
said while men slept, an enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat.
Yes, they did.
Right.
It's time to wake. It's high time to wake. I'll get on Eli here in a minute. I have to admit I'm enjoying this part right here about this lesson. I'm trying to help you understand why old Brother Eddie watches the news. I try to keep you informed. But oh my, listen, America is being put under siege. America is being invaded. And for the same reason that God removed Eli from power, we're being removed from the peace, the prosperity of being a godly nation. Listen, God ain't malt, buddy. I'll tell you right now, you want to get in trouble, you start making a joke out of God and make God a byword, and you take God, throw him out of the schools. You take the Bible, throw it out of the schools. You take the Ten Commandments, throw it out of schools, and pretty soon you'll find out. You'll reap what you've been sowing. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, this sentence that God delivered to Eli, and I'll mention it here in a minute, it was a sentence of death.
Yes.
And he did die. It's terrible. But I'll tell you right now, the righteous God of heaven had every right to do what he did to
Eli.
Did. Even Eli said God's right in what he's doing.
Uh-huh.
He said, I'm the one that's in the wrong.
Yeah.
God raises up nations. And God takes them down. They're but a drop in a bucket in his sight. He puts people in place and position. And I do believe, and I strongly believe this. You don't have to take this at heart. This is only my opinion. But I truly believe that President Trump is an answer to many prayers that people have cried out for this country because there wasn't nothing we could do about it. I don't understand the man. Why would someone step down from a life of luxury, had billions and billions and billions of dollars, didn't need to do none of it, and stepped aside and took the place of scorn and ridicule? And I'll tell you right now, they hate him.
Yes, that's right.
I'll tell you why they hate him.
That's right.
I'll tell you why they hate him. Because he's trying to
do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. He's trying to balance, put America back on level ground.
Yeah.
See, we've been sliding down the hill.
Yeah.
And more so, he's trying to get it back. I do believe he's trying against the odds. Who else could endure the attacks he's endured? Who else could still be standing? And yet he's still standing if he didn't have God helping him. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It don't make no sense. I don't want to get political here. I do believe President Trump is an answer to prayer. I believe people that have truly poured their heart out and said, God, we need help.
Yeah.
I love America. I think it's the greatest thing, closest thing to heaven on earth. Why are people trying to get here? Because they know if they get here, they'll be able to enjoy the things we take for granted.
That's right.
But there's some things going on right now, Brother Mitchell, that I believe their judgment upon the ways of America. They've took on some things they shouldn't have done. But this sentence that God pronounced upon the house of Eli, it came from God. You can find it there in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27 through 36. That sentence not only came from God, it was carried out by God.
Mm-hmm.
He made sure that everything He said was done. You can find that in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 10 through 12. Eli knew of the wickedness of his two sons that were priests to Israel. He knew what they were doing. And even though he confronted them about it, they kept right on doing their wickedness. Now I'm going to get real specific here in a minute. He confronted them in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 23. First problem, his sons didn't know the Lord.
Right.
Look.
Right.
Look right there, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. His sons knew not the Lord. How'd they get to be priests? You see how these people get elected, Brother Mitchell? How do they get in? They're not sincere.
That's right.
Man, they tell any kind of lie to get in.
That's right.
And then once they get in, boy, then you start seeing the effect of them being given power. There's a lot of principalities and powers going on right now. I understand we're in the last days. I understand somewhat of what's going on.
Right.
But these two boys, they were priests and they didn't even know the Lord, Brother Mitchell. They didn't even know the Lord. I believe it was told me that they sent communists over here to America to find out what made America so great. And Rita, they looked at the military of America. They looked at the banks of America. They went into the schools of America. And then they went into the churches of America.
Yeah.
And then they went back and said, we found out what makes America great. And they said, what is it? They said, it's the churches of America that make America great.
Right.
And if the churches ever cease to be great, America will cease to be great. Them two boys didn't know the Lord.
Right.
You got a lot of so-called preachers today that ain't even saved.
Right.
A lot of them sure ain't called.
Amen.
I'll just tell you right now, I'm glad I am saved.
That's right.
I'm glad I'm 100% saved.
Yeah.
I'm glad I've been called to preach. I might not have understood it. Samuel didn't understand the call of God.
Mm-hmm.
But I still remember on a Wednesday night, I remember my knees buckling, Sister Joanna, when I stood up on a Wednesday night and said, I've been called to preach. I desire your prayers. And I sat down. And I'll tell you right now, me and the devil got on a first name basis, buddy.
Right.
It wasn't no more Paul I know and Jesus I know. It was Eddie I know too. And buddy, I mean, we've been in a battle ever since. I don't know how many times he's tried to get me to quit.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times he's tried to get me not to study, not to pray. One real bad battle I had one time, Brother Jerry, I had a prayer closet in a house we used to live in out on the Glasgow Avenue Road, and And I went in there one time and I was in there praying, and this presence come into that room and it filled me with fear, and I ran out of it. I couldn't help it. I never been so fearful all my life. I thought, what the heck? And that presence stayed in there. It was real. And I'd go in there to pray, buddy, and it was there waiting on me. And I do remember one time I went in there and I said, I'm done with this. I went in there and I raised my hands up and I said, Lord, if I die, I just want you to know I'm going to die right here because I'm not leaving. I'm going to pray no matter
Amen.
What. And that presence fell. And I've had the blessedness of being able to pray without that kind of interruption ever since. But I want you to know, buddy, I was tried in that.
Yeah, amen.
It made me afraid. I'm not afraid of nothing now, but I didn't know things I know now. I found out, praise God, I'm more than a conqueror through Him. I found out, if God be for me, who can be against me?
Right.
I found out, greater is He that's in me, He that's in the world. I'm telling you, back then, I was a baby in Christ. I didn't understand about the battle. And I finally got over, I guess, in the devil's territories. I was a praying, asking God to do this, do that. Hell was here and hell was there. The devil didn't like it. He said, we'll stop this. I'll tell you right now, buddy, there is a devil.
Oh, yeah.
I've had several encounters with him. Some of them pretty rough.
Amen.
Whew. Eli knew the wickedness his sons were doing. He confronted them about it and they just kept right on doing it. And the reason they kept right on doing it because they didn't know the Lord.
Right.
Little Samuel, just a little child, he didn't know the voice of God. Me and Brother Jerry was talking right before the service, talking about waking up in the morning. He said, heck, I couldn't sleep. I just get up and fellowship with the Lord. That's what I do.
Amen.
Samuel didn't know the voice of the Lord yet, Brother Mitchell.
That's
so
right.
So he went to Eli. He said, what do you want? He said, I didn't holler your name out. He said, yeah, I heard you call my name. He said, it wasn't me. Go back to bed.
Yeah.
That happened about three times, Karen. And Eli told this young boy, he's about 10 years old, he said, it may be the Lord calling you.
See,
next time he calls, say, here, my Lord,
yeah.
Thy servant heareth. But if God didn't just call him, boy, he told him some things that made his ears tingle, and it made other people's ears tingle. And I'll tell you what, buddy, when that sentence was carried out, they knew Samuel was a prophet from God.
Right.
He delivered that message. It may have been tough to deliver, but he told it. But Eli's sons didn't know the Lord, and the Bible said they sinned before the Lord greatly. I do want to look at some of this. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 12 says the sons of Eli were sons of Baal. That means Satan. They knew not the Lord. Look up here in verse number 17. It said, therefore the sin, talking about these sons of Eli, was very great before the Lord. For the men abhorred the offering of the Lord. They didn't care about God. They didn't care about the offering. When somebody brought an offering, they just took it.
That's right.
They lay with the women that assembled at the doors of the Lord's tabernacle. Look at verse 22. Eli was old, heard all the things his son did unto all Israel, how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They had no shame. They cared less. They didn't know the Lord. They weren't real.
Mm-hmm.
They were put in position they shouldn't have never been put into.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about, these politicians. Boy, we better be careful how we vote. Listen, I ain't going to tell you to vote Republican or Democrat.
Right.
I ain't going to tell you to vote independent, conservative. I'll just tell you this. Be sure who you're voting for.
Yeah, right.
Don't just throw your vote out there.
That's right.
We got enough to deal with already. I mean, I've read enough about the Bible. No, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse
right.
under men.
Right.
I know evil men and seduction is going to wax worse and worse. I know through cunning, craftiness, and deception, they're going to continue to prevail. I know that. Do your homework. Don't say, well, I just won't vote then. No, that's worse than voting without doing your homework. Look, you got to vote. Use it wisely. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like you got to say what's going on in America. One of the worst things you can do is just throw that away. And that will be terrible. Just do your homework. Find out. They sinned greatly before the Lord. They lay with the women at the doors of the tabernacle. Verse 24 said they made the people of the Lord to transgress.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something, buddy. I don't know if you've noticed or not. These politicians nowadays, they stir people up. Some of the stuff they say, it's not true. It don't have to be true. It's just they say it to be true. I was telling Brother Ed this morning that Satan overthrew Adam and Eve. He just told a half truth.
Yeah, right.
Right.
I mean, he said, "You shall not surely die." That's a lie, because they did.
Right.
But he said, "You shall be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil." That was true. Soon as they eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they knew they was naked, and they tried to hide that nakedness.
Yeah,
God came to the rescue, made them some clothing. So the devil told a half truth. They're telling you half truths. Pay attention. Pray. The Bible says pray for believers. Pray for
them. Amen.
Pray that the wicked ones will be exposed. Be expelled. You know, I don't like what they're doing. But the Bible tells me the weapons are warfare. They're not carnal. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I'm going to tell you right now, just turn God loose on and say, "Lord, root them out. Kick them out. Expose them." It can be done.
Right. Amen.
I want peace. They're against peace.
Right.
I want America to go forward. They want America to be overthrown. Now, I've done told y'all this once, but I'm going to say it again. You go to your computer, you type in Communist Party USA, and you're going to blush. Because you're going to get the real truth. What's going on in America. You're going to understand a little bit more about the battle. You're going to understand a little bit more about how they're able to defeat you because you don't understand what they're doing. And that's why you need to exercise your senses. You need to discern what the heck's going on and pay attention, because I'm telling you, we're going to be gone, but the generation coming behind us, they're polluting their minds and brainwashing them. They can't wait till we're gone. Amen.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Well, that's the truth.
Soon we're taken out of the way, buddy. They made the people of the Lord to transgress. You know what? You got a good pastor, you pray for him.
Mm-hmm. We do, right?
But I'll tell you right now, the devil hates that. He don't want a good man, a guy behind the pulpit. He wants some jackleg, some hireling, somebody, you know, to tickle an ear.
Yeah.
But these sons of Eli made the people of the Lord to transgress. It was a recipe for death. The Bible talks about there is a sin unto death.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, let's just read that real quick. When God carried this thing out, it says in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 10, it said, "And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man to his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas," I guess that's his name, "were slain." You know what the name Phinehas means? The tongue of serpent. I believe I looked it up. It's the tongue of the serpent, I believe, is what his name means.
Mm-hmm.
"There ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent, with earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out." This is not a good time. This is when the sentence, the judgment of God now is upon this wickedness. "And Eli heard the noise of the crying, and he said, What meaneth the noise of this turmoil? And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim that he could not see. And the man said to Eli, I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army. And he said, What is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. It came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God that he, told by Eli, fell from off the seat backwards by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said to her, "Fear not, for thou hast borne a son." But she regarded not, neither did she, but she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." Listen, America's been following the path of wickedness instead of the path of righteousness for a long time.
Right.
You can't spoil a strong man without binding him first. Jesus said you have to bind a strong man, then you can spoil his house. But America's been bound by the cords of wickedness. And that scripture is Matthew chapter 12, verse 29, about the strong man. I can't help but think about Samson, that they bound him and bound him, and he'd just keep breaking the binds and the cords, and they'd wave his hair into the spindle, and he'd just walk off with it. But there came a day, buddy, that he said, "I'll go out as other times." And he knew not that the Lord had departed from him, and they bound him this time and put his eyes out, and he ground meal in the grinding house of the Philistines. I just want you to know America's not above God.
Right.
Judges 16:19-21. We better be careful.
That's right.
This is time, I'll tell you what, buddy, that the Bible calls perilous times.
Yeah,
yes. Men will be lovers of their own selves.
That's right.
More than lovers of God. Unthankful.
That's right.
Unholy, despisers,
mm-hmm. Right.
Them that are good, they despise you, Rita.
Yeah.
Man, I thank God for them.
That's right.
They despise
That's
you.
Right.
Say all manner of evil about you. They despise you, Joanne. I thank God for you.
Yeah. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
I don't know how long we got. I just don't want them to make good use of it.
Amen.
Right.
Thank
you. We're down on your knees, say, "Lord,
yeah.
Look
that's
into
right.
this. We
yeah.
don't
Amen.
Like it.
Yeah.
Right. We're not condoning
right.
it.
Right.
We're against it.
That's right. Amen.
It ain't like we're at a loss. We just need to make sure, Lord, Amen. That we acknowledge it.
Thank you.
You see, Eli knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? He didn't do nothing about it.
Right.
Therefore, the sentence come down upon Eli's telling Brother Ed this morning, Jonah cut into Nineveh.
Yeah.
Preached a simple message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh be overthrown. You know what Nineveh did? They repented.
That's right.
They put on sackcloth and ashes from the greatest to the least. You know what God did, Brother Mitchell?
Yeah.
He spared Nineveh.
Yeah, right.
Would to God we could have a Nineveh repentance in America. Mm-hmm. Well, we read about Eli's, what's going on in America right now. He was in denial. He wouldn't do anything about it. It ended up costing him life, his life, life of his sons, life of his daughter-in-law. It cost the life of how many? 3,000, 30,000 footmen and others. That ain't all. There was some more here. About 4,000 men, verse number 2, that died.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I see going on in America.
That's right.
I don't expect anybody to take heed to this message, but I will tell you this. I can at least warn you.
That's right.
I can at least tell you, buddy, it ought not be so. What I see going on makes me mad. Makes me pray. Makes me say, "Lord, I'm not like that." not what I want.
Amen.
I want my children raised up in love and admonition. I don't want them to be brainwashed to think they was born some other gender than what they are.
That's right.
I don't want them to be told some kind of lie. That they tell, you know, that you don't like, you know, at about the age of 10 years old, little boys ain't interested in girls, you know what I mean?
Right.
So they've got to reach them about that age, say, you don't like girls, you're just like us. I'll just tell you how it works. You don't like girls, you're just like us, and see, they're vulnerable. You see, that's why it shouldn't even be taught in their schools, but that's the perfect breeding ground for this lie.
Right.
Right.
Amen.
You'd be surprised, you'd be scared to know how many homosexuals are in your government. You'd be scared to know how many Muslims, how many Hindus, anything but Americans.
Right.
I just want you to know, buddy, the deck's stacked.
Right. Amen.
Open your eyes, bend your knees. You don't have to bend your knees. Bow your head, Lord.
That's
help
right.
us in America.
That's right.
Help us.
Amen.
That we might see good days. Father, we thank you for this message.
Yes.
Lord, if nothing else, I've blown the trumpet. There truly is a battle going on in America. The casualties, Lord, from MS-13 stabbing a young girl 13 times.
Yes.
Molly Tibbett, all she's doing was jogging. And a man beat her to death. A young girl in her bedroom, an MS-13 crawled into the window and sexually assaulted her. Lord, I don't like it. I'm against it. I'm praying against it. I'm praying, God, you'll send us a deliverer.
Yes.
Thank you for our president.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for all he's trying to do to right these wrongs.
Yes.
Lord, those that are opposing him, those that are condemning the efforts that he put forth for the safety and peace of America,
yes.
I pray their wisdom be turned to foolishness. I pray their counsel will be condemned.
Yes.
I pray they'll be exposed for the criminal, corrupt politicians that they are. Help us, Lord, as your children. Your word says, he that will see good days, let him refrain his tongue from speaking evil, and let his feet, that they be not swift to shed blood. Lord, we don't want a war. We really don't.
Mm-hmm.
I see one coming, but I don't want it. But I pray, God, if there be one, Lord, I pray it'll be the right kind. I pray to have the right results. When I see all the things going on in California, I see how they're trying to start there and then send it out across this blessed country. Help us, Lord, I pray. I have no problem helping people I love, people I want to help them. If they'll do right, I'll do right. But Lord, they're not coming for a reason of right. They're coming for a reason of wrong. They're coming, Lord, to overthrow, to undermine this country, because every missionary comes from America. Because the churches are still standing in America. Because the name of Christ is still proclaimed in America. We understand the battle.
Yes.
We understand, Lord, this trouble that's coming upon us. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' blessed name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
I'll get everybody to stand. Get Brother Jerry, if you would, please. Sister Sharon, get us an invitational hymn. Thank you for bearing with me. Rough message.
Good message.